So by God's grace, we are already halfway through the Lent. And so I hope that we all keep our resolutions, resolutions which are meant to open us to the grace of God, to set us free from anything that separates us from God on a bigger or smaller scale. But even if we sometimes fail to keep our resolutions, I hope that we all pick ourselves up and we start afresh. Because what really matters in the eyes of God, it is our perseverance. In spite of our failures, that we'll come back, we'll start again, anew, just to get closer and closer to the one who is our Redeemer. And so today's readings encourage us, invite us to put our trust in God, in His mercy, in His love. And all the readings, just the message of the love of God is overwhelming. The first reading, the psalm, the second reading, the gospel, all of them, they speak about this inexhaustible, infinite, endless love of God for the world, for each one of us. If we just think about the psalm, the response, and one of the lines of the psalm, let my tongue be silenced, or may my tongue cleave to my palate if I remember you not. Oh, let my right hand wither if I forget you, Israel. So in other words, God says, I will never forget you, no matter what happens, because I love you so much. And the second reading, when St. Paul says that God in his rich mercy, because of his great love he has for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he brought us to life. He never stopped loving us. So generous his mercy is for us. And again, the gospel, when Jesus says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But the first reading is very interesting, because the first reading shows how that love of God works in our history, in our daily lives. The first reading from the book of Chronicles, it is a kind of interpretation of the history of Israel, which is for us like a blueprint that shows how God also works in our lives, how he loves us, how it intervenes in our lives, in the life of the church, in the life of nations, but also in our personal, individual lives. So what do we find in this first reading? The people of God, the chosen people, beloved by God, brought out of slavery in Egypt and given the promised land. And that people of God just abandoned that God. They abandoned the covenant, or we can say, abandoned that marriage with God. They betrayed that covenant, that spiritual marriage with God. And so God in his mercy, the very beginning of that first reading, the author says that the princes of Judah, the priests, and all the people added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations and polluting the Lord's temple. And then God, in his mercy, he was calling people back. He was calling them to change their lives, to convert. And he was sending prophets, one after the other. But it is said, they mocked the messengers of God, despised the warnings, and scoffed at the prophets. So that was the response to God's compassion, to his mercy, calling them to come back and to live in his covenant. And so the consequence was, there was a punishment. We don't like this word, but it is the reality. The punishment of God came upon his beloved people Israel. And so what happened? They lost the land. The temple was destroyed. And all of them, the Israelites, were exiled into Babylon for the 70 years, the kind of retreat for them, to rethink their lives, to reflect, and to repent. In this first reading, it is said that the anger of the Lord against his people was so inflamed that there was no remedy. So when we hear this kind of phrases in the Old Testament, the wrath of God, the anger of God, probably what comes into our minds, it is our human experience. So we perhaps imagine, our imagination works very hard, and we imagine God who loses his temper, his eyes are full of these flashes of anger. But it's not so. It is not so. To explain the anger of God or the punishment of God, we can imagine another situation. That you as a parent, you ask your child not to put his or her finger into the flame because the finger will be burned and there will be pain. But the child doesn't listen to you. And in spite of your warnings and even your beggings, the child puts the finger into the flame because it's so beautiful, so warm, so inviting. What is the consequence of that? Disobedience is pain. The finger gets burnt, the suffering. Who is guilty of that? Is the parent, the mother, the father, or the child himself? It's the child who is at fault. So when we hear in the Bible about the punishment, we have to understand it is the consequence of our choices. That's the punishment, and it is the reality. And it was also in the case of Israel. But in that exile, in Babylon, the Israelites realized that through that punishment, the mercy of God was working. That God was leading them to recognize his goodness, his love, his mercy, his faithfulness. And then they turned back to him. And God, on his own account, as we read in the first reading, made the pagan, the king Cyrus, the king of Persia, to make an edict or decree to set Israelites free. He let them go to Israel, to the land, and to rebuild the temple. And even he financed all of that. That is the mercy of God. Always faithful, always working for our good. And that good of ours is to be united with God. That is our true good. And God knows about that. Problem is, we not always know about this. That's why we, at certain point, more come to believe that we can be happy in this world without God. So that's why there comes in our lives the times that we call rough times, difficult times, through which God calls us to come back, or He calls us to a deeper trust, to a fuller surrender to His love. So it is how the mercy of God works in our lives. And also in today's readings, God invites us, or even He exhorts us, to be herald of that mercy of God. There are many people who, like Nicodemus in today's gospel, who search for God. And even if they find they're not always ready to follow the voice of God, so they need somebody who will show them the sign that God truly loves us. And that sign, as Jesus Himself says in the gospel, it is Him and Him crucified. There is no other sign of God's love. The true and only sign given to us of God's merciful, tender love, of His saving and redeeming love, is His, the Son of God, raised up on the cross, crucified, buried, and risen from the dead. It is a sign for each one of us and a sign for everybody else. And God wants us to be such a sign to others, to be the sign in the world of the risen Christ, of the crucified and risen Christ, by the way we live, by the way we think, we speak, we act. Let us ask Almighty God to give us the grace to become a perfect reflection of His mercy, of His goodness. Let us also ask Our Lady to pray for us for that grace, to pray with us for that grace. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.